This is an Envoice Media podcast. You're listening to Scared Money, Don't Make Money podcast. And here are your hosts, Sam and Sonny.
Hello, this is Sam. I'm the host of Scared Money, Don't Make Money. Welcome to our fourth episode. And today we have a special guest because my co-host Sonny is not here today. We have our special guest, Danny Lee. Welcome, Danny.
Thank you. I'm Danny, filling in for Sonny, who's actually in Vegas practicing Scared Money, Don't Make Money.
That's a funny thing because Sonny's actually been in Vegas for the last 2 weeks and he will actually be in Vegas for two more weeks. So he's basically practicing what we're talking about every day. But today I wanted to talk about sports betting, which is another form of gambling. And Danny here has been gambling in sports betting for 20 plus years. And on top of it, he's actually put himself through pharmacy school for his whole family. And while he was not working and just studying and making money off sports betting. So welcome. Can you explain a little bit about that, of how you got into it and like how you got put yourself through pharmacy school?
Yeah, I mean, I started sports betting about 20 something years ago, and they caught me with the first ever bet. I just put a $10 10 team parlay in and thought nothing of it. But then when I checked later that night, I hit for $1,000 off of $10. And ever since then,
you were hooked.
I've been hooked. You know, I'm sure that's how they hook a lot of people, right? I think you got a similar story like
that. I have a similar story like that too. And just like how I got hooked into gambling at a casino, I was underage when gambling. I was down to like my last like $100 and I put it into the slot machine. I hit $1,500 and I was like, whoa, that's crazy. But same similar story in sports betting. Actually, I think you were the one who introduced me to sports betting. And first ever bet I placed was a college football parlay for four teams. And I picked four teams and it was for $500, I think, and won $5,000. And so then I was like, oh my gosh, I made $5,000 my first bet. This is easy. And I picked the ones that I thought was going to win anyways. And I was hooked. But in the same weekend or the same week, I used that $5,000 try to press and I basically lost it all. But then I was in my mind, I was thinking like, oh, you know what? It's going to be easy. So I'm going to keep doing it. But I did end up losing a lot of money on sports betting over the time. And I think I started back in like 2016-ish, 2015-ish. And just like any kind of casino gambling, sports betting is, you still need discipline. Like I'm still learning. And yeah, so it's kind of interesting. So tell us about how you became the sports bettor and made a living off of it and also making extra income now. And like, what type of discipline do you need?
I mean, it took a long time to learn the discipline. I probably threw away so much money. First 10 years of sports betting, I probably threw away so much money trying to learn things. I mean, people think it's so easy to sports bet. It's 50-50. Oh, we can figure this out. But it's a lot harder than it looks. And, you know, you could go 7-3, and if you don't bet right, you're going to lose money.
I'm guilty of that.
Sam is guilty of that. You know, so it took me probably a good 10 years to learn discipline, you know, on types, like how to bet, how much to bet, when to bet, all that kind of stuff, you know, because I used to be, you know, like most people are action bettors, they're volume bettors, they just bet on a ton of different games, you know, and you just end up getting juiced out like that, you know, and you've been through that too.
I have. It's funny because if you look at a betting account for 1 week and you look at Danny's, he'll show like 8 bets or 12 bets max for 1 week. And for me, if you look at my account, you'll see like 25 bets a day. I mean, that's back in the day. I don't do that anymore. But I used to have where like I'm betting like 25 bets a day. And I would jump in and do in-game and this and that. And just like roll, you just scroll through the account and you see all these bets. And I'm like, whoa, I feel like I won, but then my account says negative, right? So that's what you mean by juice. And just kind of explain to those who are kind of new to sports betting. Unlike casino bets where like you bet $100, you win $100 or you win blackjack or based on the odds, sports betting has like different types of odds. So like on a straight bet, like an NBA against the spread or football, like you don't just pick, let's say the Rams to win versus the Bears. There is like money line, which is straight up, but they'll have juice. Like if you bet 100, you might win like $50. So that would be like a juice of like minus 150, right? But then like if you lose the full $100. So like in order to make up some of those higher juice games, you have to win two bets if you lose one, right? So it makes it harder. So like on a normal bet, like a juice would be minus 110. So like if you bet 100, you're risking $110 to win $100. Mm-hmm. And then, and so like heavy favorite games like money line bets, like for instance, like I know you've had incidents where like you bet on like number one seed in tennis against like a really crappy tennis player and the juice was like minus like 2000. So you're like risking like, how much is that? Like you're betting $100 to risk $2,000, right? To win 100.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So like, and you've been on the losing end of that as well, yeah. Which like, that's not the discipline part that I know of you, but yeah, so like it's risky. So like there, it's very, gambling in general is very mathematical, right? And it's, there's like a formulary where the house or the bookies make money. And so like, it, even though it seems like such an easy thing, like 50-50, but like, you know, in sports, anything could happen, whether it's the players are playing bad. Like for instance, yesterday, I bet on the Lakers Bucks over and like they were looking pretty good, but then Bucks had a 20-point lead going into the fourth quarter with 7.5 minutes left in the game. It was like way under. It was like on pace to go like 205 points total. And I needed like 231. And Lakers were down by 20 with 7 minutes left. And I was like, oh, this bet is done. And so like you would think that people are going to lose that. But then I got lucky. And somehow Lakers came back and went to overtime and tied it with 7 minutes left. And I also had a bet for second half for 111. And I thought that was that too until it went overtime. Because at the end of regulation, that game went to like, it was like a 202 or something like that. So I would have lost all my money. But then like it, you know, they ended up going double overtime. And I covered the second half bet and the game, right? So like it's unpredictable.
I mean, you could do all the homework, the research, look through all the stats and everything. That's only half. I mean, any type of betting, gambling, a lot of it's luck. You need the luck. You don't know if they're going to make a shot or not. Half court shot, might fumble return for a touchdown. You know, anything can happen. Same thing with like blackjack or anything. You could play the best odds you want, but you still need a lot of luck.
Yeah, I totally agree. And like yesterday, I also put a bet in for Avalanche, like NHL hockey. And they were, I forgot who they were playing. They were playing some really bad team. And they were favored by minus 500, which means they're really, really heavy favored.
So you're risking 500 to win 100.
Exactly. So then I put in a two-team parlay, which was Dallas Stars against Sharks. And both of them had to win by 2, 1.5. So like, man, I was like, this is a pretty good bet. So I put that in. And then Avalanche actually lost to Montreal 2-1. And so I lost that parlay. You know, but luckily I did bet the over on the Sharks and Dallas game, and that was kind of a rocking chair bet. It was ended up being 6-3. So Avalanche screwed me on the parlay, but I got that money back on the straight bet on the over. So like there's like strategy. I'm learning the strategy thing because like you said, you can go 7-3 and still be negative, but it's based on like how you bet and the type of strategy you use, right? Because like I know like for you, no matter what, you use the same units of bet. So if your unit is 500 or 1,000, then you're just betting every bet you put in is the same amount of money. I do a little slightly different because I have like some favorites and not so favorites. So it's like when we have like an AI, you know, we have an AI thing for NBA. And on the AI picks, it talks about like the percentage of wins, like 50% or 58% or 60 or 65%, right? And it's not, and I have that in my head because like yesterday, the Bucks and Lakers game, I put $1,000 on that game on the over. But on the other games that I picked, I bet only $500 because I wasn't like as confident, right? So like I got lucky, like I said, but because the other games lost, but that one won. So I pretty much was break even yesterday.
Yeah, and most cappers, like, you know, like you, and most cappers will have different ratings on their plays, you know, based on strength and have you bet accordingly.
Right.
You know? But for me, I'm a low volume player. So if I'm going to have a 5-star, 4-star, and a 3-star, I'm just going to put more money on the 5-stars and just bet that only, because I just want the highest percentage plays.
Right. So if you have like a 70%, like a 5-star you mentioned, you would bet on that. But then if you have a 4-star, which is like equivalent to like my 70%, right, or 60%, it's still more than 50%, but you're like, ah, I'd rather stay off of it, right?
Yeah, for me, yeah.
Yeah, I think because I just like action. So like gambling is all about, like I said, scare money, don't make money. And like, if you're scared to bet, then you're not going to win. So like, for instance, I'll give you an example. Last week, like, I was on this hot streak in sports betting last week. Like, the previous week was not so great, but for some reason, like, everything, it's like one of those like runs in blackjack. You kind of see what bets are coming in and you're like, wow, I feel like the next five hands, I'm going to win. And you just win double, 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 double. And that's how you make your run. And you end up with like walking away with like $20,000. That's how I felt in sports betting last week. I was like, man, Danny, everything that could happen that I saw, I bet, was winning. I think I won 70% of my bet last week. And it was crazy because one of the bets, I had a 3-leg parlay on the NHL hockey. Oh, and it was Avalanche money line, Dallas Star puck line, which means they have to win by 2. And it was the Tampa Bay or one of those teams against the Ducks money line. And so I was like watching the first game and it was Avalanche. They were down 0-4 in the second period. And in hockey, it's pretty hard to come back from a 4-0 run, right? And so like I was like, oh my God. And I bet $1,000 on this bet. No, I bet $500 on this leg to win $1,800. And I was like, this one is dead, man. I was like, and I was watching my son's golf tournament. So I was just walking for like an hour. And then as soon as I checked, I was like, holy crap, the game's over and the Avalanche won 5-4. So then I was like, oh my gosh, I got 2 more legs left. And the Dallas Stars were playing I forgot who they were playing, but then they were down 1-0. Then they were down 2-0. And then they tied it up in the third with 2-2. And then they had one, they were winning by 3-2 and an empty leg with 4-2. I hit it. And then the last game was against the Ducks. And then that team was down as well. And then they won in overtime. So I got lucky and hit that, you know, that game. But last week, I, you know, every game I was picking, I was telling you, right? I was like, all right, I'm betting $2,000 on the Warriors and Warriors over. And like, I don't really bet $2,000 on games, but I just felt it. And I hit both of those, right? And so I cashed last week like $9,500, which is pretty good run, like for betting only like $500 to $1,000, right? Because that means that's a good run.
It's real good.
Yeah. So what's the most like, on average, like what is your betting strategy? Do you start like, I know you tend to do football, like NFL and college, and you hit it pretty hard. Like, do you start out at a high limit or like in the beginning of the season, do you start out at $100 bet, $500 bet, $5,000 bet? What is your strategy in that?
I mean, betting on sports is very similar to how you bet at the tables, you know, and, you know, in terms of like you're saying you were feeling it last week, when you're hot, you got to take advantage and up your bets. So in the same way with sports betting, when you're on a cold streak, you got to bet the minimum, grind it out. Once you hit the hot streak, then you got to lay it out and bet big. But I mean, normally I would say whatever your bankroll is, if you want to be conservative, you know, don't wager more than 5% on any one play to start, because then that'll give you enough bankroll to weather any bad streaks. Because just like at the tables, sports betting is very streaky. You'll have good streaks and bad streaks. So no more than 5%. If you want to be really a little bit more daring, you could go 10% of your bankroll. You know, and then as you build your bankroll, that's how you can increase your unit.
So you're saying if I had a bankroll of $1,000 that I'm willing to lose because we're all doing it for fun and it's entertainment. So if I had a $1,000 bankroll, you're saying I would bet $50 to $100 to start with and start mm-hmm. building on my bankroll, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So like at that point, like how many games would you even bet? Like, would you bet like 2 games, 10 games? Because I mean, if it was me, I would but 5%, but I might end up using the whole bankroll and bet like, you know, 20 games.
I mean, it depends on the sport. It depends how strong you like the plays. But I mean, typically I like to cap it at, you know, I've learned throughout the years that I like betting football as opposed to other sports. So being mainly a weekend, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday games, you know, I like to limit to maybe like 4, max 5 plays per day.
Okay. So that's a pretty good amount. And usually our hit rate for football is what?
I mean, the goal is to get to 60%, which I think is amazing. You know, I think you got to hit like 52, 53% to break even. So, you know, at the end of the day, anything above that, I'll be happy as long as I don't lose money.
So let's say you bet like 4 games and you're down on Saturday 0-4. Do you steam and you bet double on the next 4 or 5 bets that you put in on Sunday? Or do you like take your losses and, you know, just say like, okay, I'm just going to try to get even money? Or do you really try to win more money than you instead of getting back to even?
I mean, for me, I don't think of it more as a week to week. You know, you have to think of it as a marathon. You know, you heard that. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. So you got to think of the long haul. So if I'm down 4 units on Saturday going into Sunday, my goal isn't to end positive or even, you know, at best, I would love to break even, but the goal would be just to chip away and, you know, cut down that debt and then reset and try to get it back the next week.
Okay. I think that's where the discipline that you have built over the 20 plus years of sports betting, because at times for me, when I'm down, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know what? If I'm down $1,000, I'm going to bet the next one because I feel like the next one's got to hit. I would have bet $2,000. If I lose that, I'll bet $4,000 and then see what happens. But the funny thing is, right? I was thinking about this because it's like the double up strategy. And that's why in the casinos and table games, whether it's blackjack or whatever, there's a table maximum, right? Limit. So like if there's a $5,000 limit table, that's the max you can bet. And the minimum is like 100. Let's say you like double up, because eventually you're going to win. But then they have the cap. So you can't do that anymore, right? Like exactly. If you have an infinite number of amount of money. But in sports betting, I don't think there is a limit, right? Like if you go to Vegas and I bet $50,000 on the Lakers to win today, and then I lose, I can go back and bet on them again at $100,000, right? I don't think there's limits on sports betting, is there?
If you got the cash, yeah.
Right. So in some ways, I feel like sports betting, if you have the cash and the bankroll, you can do pretty good, because as long as you stay disciplined and you just keep using the double up. Do you think that makes sense or no?
I mean, I think they call that the martingale system, and I don't really believe in that. I've gone through that and tried it. I think, you know, Sonny's tried it, you know, and eventually you're going to get tapped out because it's going to get too big. I think so many players have been wiped out on roulette.
Martingale? Using on the black and red?
On roulette, on black and red. You know, they try to fight the streak, you know, and then sometimes you'll see the whole board go black, you know,
right.
And people are doubling up on red and they'll get wiped out trying to double up. I've seen friends lose tens of thousands of dollars trying that, you know, and even in baseball, remember Sonny?
He lost like 10 in a row.
Yeah.
Against the Angels?
Angels, they lost like 8 in a row. He said, oh, they can't lose again. So he started doubling up and then they ended up losing like 15 in a row and he got wiped out. Yeah.
I remember that. That was like 2017, I believe. Something like that.
Yeah. So I'm not a big fan of that double up system.
Yeah, I agree. Like, and that's why I think for me, my strategy is a little bit different, because your strategy is less bets, but same units. My strategy is I have a little bit more bets than you, but like I favor like the bigger bets on like really good plays. And then I still bet a few of my upper tier plays, but not favorite at a lesser amount. So if I do lose 2 and I win the big one, I'm stay even. But if I win the big one and I lose and goes break even on the other ones, I'm still up bigger than the smaller amount. You right? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what he means by if we're both going to risk $1,000, Sam would might have a $400 bet, a $200 bet, and a couple $100 bets, whereas I would just put in 2 $500 bets.
Right. But if you're down 0-2, then you're down $1,000. But if I go like 3-2, I'm still positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or I can be, depending if the bigger one hit or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel for me, I have more confidence in volume versus like, because if I feel like I'm betting 2 games versus like 5 games and like two loses and I'm down. But like, I feel like I have more chances if I have, I know it's the opposite mentality because you're like, oh, if you like the two really good games, then you should win. But like, I don't know. Like I've tried that before and I've kind of lost. And so like my mindset is different. So yours and mine is opposite in that way.
Yeah. Because, you know, my thinking is it's kind of like Vegas, the tables, right? They don't like the quick hit and run players. They want you to stay and play as many hands as possible, you know, and the reason being is the longer you stay or the more hands you play, you'll end up giving it all back. All right.
So like in sports betting, like what is the craziest bet you've ever put? Like, have you put bets in games that you've never even heard of, like cricket or soccer or whatever in different countries?
Yeah. Back in my learning days, I was an action junkie like you in the beginning. So it actually became a problem where I felt like I always needed action, whether I'm awake or even asleep. You know, so I bet on everything you can imagine, you know, and, you know, before I sleep, I would need to place a bet in, you know, just so that when I wake up, the first thing I do, roll out of bed, check the scores and see if I collect it. So I've bet on cricket, European handball, you know, like Chinese hockey, you know, anything you can imagine. I would just look at the board and be like, is there anything playing in the middle of the night, you know, which would be in Europe or Asia going on at this time?
Okay, in those situations, how would you bet if you don't know anything? Is it just like you just pick coin flip or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, I mean, because there's not much research you could do on this end. There's no articles or anything about Chinese handball, you know, out here. So yeah, it would just be a random bet, you know, and I wouldn't care, you know, what side I was on, you know, just.
Hopefully you won. Just because it is 50-50, right?
It is 50-50. I mean, they don't care which side you take, right?
I mean, that is the one thing, though. Like, besides the juice part, like, sports betting is a true 50-50 gambling pick, right?
Because they don't care what
they don't care.
You take. Yeah.
Yeah. And usually the juices and the spreads and the things, the points, like, change based on the money coming in, right? So it's like, but it's still a 50-50 bet, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is, you know, but, you know, going into that, and that's where, you know, comes my theory of I like to bet a lot of dogs is because they don't put the lines necessarily where they think the games are going to end up. They make the lines based on where they think they'll get 50% action.
Right.
You know, most of the betting public, betting faves, they're going to skew it, you know, against the faves.
Right. So then you have a little edge if you bet against the faves.
Yeah, for the most part.
For the most part. And the unders.
I think so. Yeah. I'm a dog and under better for sure.
For the Super Bowl, tell me about what your thought process was. I'll tell you my thought process, but like, who did you pick for a Super Bowl?
I picked KC. I mean, I'll admit I got lucky because anytime during the game, if you gave me the option to switch, I would have taken that bet off for sure because it looked like San Francisco was dominating.
And KC was a dog or were they fave? I believe they were the dogs. They were like +2.
Oh, shoot. I don't even remember.
I think they were +2 because I was remembering, like, I was like, man, if you didn't miss that extra point or something and San Francisco scored, they would win by one and we would still cover. Oh, okay. Something like that.
Somewhat.
Yeah. So like so why did you pick the Chiefs over the San Francisco 49ers? Because like the way they were playing, like Chiefs were coming in, they were winning the playoff games, but they played really messy. San Francisco came in during the playoffs and they're dominating, killing everybody. So like, why did you end up picking? And it was only a 2-point spread. So like, why did you pick Chiefs?
I mean, at the end of the day, it was mostly Mahomes versus Purdy, you know, and I'll take Mahomes because he just has the more experience, you know, in that, you know, he's had the limelight. He's been there before. So I'll take the experience, you know, all day on that. But, you know, also the Taylor effect.
Exactly. So... That's how I picked, okay? Because, like, I was like, I have a conspiracy theory here because, like, I felt like the NFL was making so much money off of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. And, like, I was like, there's no way. And, like, the reports beforehand was, like, before the Super Bowl was, like, oh, Taylor Swift have made NFL additional $600 million in revenue because of their love story between Kelce and the Chiefs. And every time they didn't even show Mahomes. They showed more Travis Kelce highlights so they can show Taylor Swift. And I was like, there's no way. Like, you know, I will say, like, most people will say NFL is rigged to a degree, right? Because there's always an edge by a ref or something that happens. And, like, I felt like the Taylor Swift effect, was going to happen and Casey was going to win, because that would just have an additional, I would say like another 50 million viewers, because you have women now who are watching football because of Taylor Swift, right? And showing interest in the Super Bowl.
It's crazy. They even had Taylor Swift prop bets.
I know.
Super Bowl. How many like times are going to pan to her exactly. during the national anthem?
That's crazy. Yeah, that is super crazy. Like, man, so I don't know. And I guess Super Bowl is like, they had over $2 billion in bets this year, which is insane.
Insane, yeah.
So like, I just read an article today on ESPN News, and it was about the NCAA president talking about if the states that allow sports betting, they want that allow college prop bets to stop doing prop bets on college players, because I guess there was like a couple of games that were affected where like there's a player and they say he's gonna make like 6 or 5 3-pointers in a game, and like you can tell because a game normally that doesn't have that prop bet, he would just keep shooting, but then like he must have bet under. And so they were like, dude, it provides like it's like interfering with the integrity of the game, he was saying, right? Like, do you feel like, especially like college level kids, do you feel like that is a issue?
Oh yeah, no doubt. I mean, not just even in college, but even in pro sports. Like right now, the NBA is investigating Porter on the Raptors. Michael Porter Jr.'s brother.
Oh yeah, and that was another one. That was another one related to that.
Because he's like a nobody, averaging what 4 points a game, and then, you know, what happened? He all of a sudden on two of the games he was the most bet prop bet on all the DraftKings, and he's like a nobody. And then they took all the unders, and then he just played like 3 minutes, and then
he
sat down, and like his eye hurt or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
and then,
two times, right?
Yeah, back to back game. So I mean, that's, you know, it makes no sense that he would be the most bet prop bet player, you know, because he's a nobody.
So then is that like a DraftKings called Porter and was like, hey, if you do this, then I'll give you some extra money kind of thing?
I think DraftKings lost a lot of money because
Oh, really?
It was the most bet on that he would hit the under or the over.
Yeah, oh, under. Oh, shoot.
So there were like requests for like $10,000, $20,000 bets, you know, on all his unders for every category.
Oh, I see. Dang, that's crazy.
So I think the NBA is investigating him. So, I mean, nobody's free from, you know, from bribery for sure, or point shaving.
But I think the NCAA president was talking about basically like, at least at the level of college students, at the college level, to still it's make it more about the passion versus the money, right? And even the kids are like, oh, I think I'm going to take the money and whatever. Like, long as we win, but if I, you know, can make an edge for someone, they're going to pay me. But I think that was the whole point of the NIL, right? The NIL was there so that kids don't get bribed and they can make money.
There is no passion in college sports anymore, you know, especially with the NIL, because it's all about the money now. And that's why even Saban quit coaching, right? Because
the kids were being too much of a drama.
It wasn't more like how much can I be developed. It was more like how much money can you get me?
Right, right.
You know, and, you know, I think even Calipari in Kentucky was saying, you know, he has to change his approach.
Yeah,
recruiting the players he gets, because it's not working just because of the
who they are.
The whole college landscape's changing.
Yeah, and especially like if you're like a really like, you know, 5-star recruits, they're looking at college ball as like one and done anyways, right? So like, do you get a guy who's gonna come in one year and maybe not play really well? I mean, he might play well, but like he's trying to do more of the things that he can one on one, so that he has a bigger brand for himself versus like helping the team, right? So like, I know it'd be interesting to see what happens this March Madness, and see which team really wins, and if how many NIL kids are on that team versus the teams that don't have any kids are making millions of dollars in a program, and seeing if they're doing better, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you look at that Kentucky Oakland game. Oakland has nobody that's going to the NBA, and Kentucky has three guys that are probably going in the first round and ready to play in the NBA. So you're saying three NBA players lost to a bunch of nobodies?
Right. It's crazy. But who's your favorite to win this March Madness? I know in your bracket.
In my bracket, I have Kentucky. So at this point, I don't care. I stopped watching.
I have UConn. So let's see what happens. But like, you know, what is it? We're in the Sweet 16 right now. And this weekend's going to go down to the Final Four. And then following weekend is the Final Four matches?
Yeah, maybe Purdue. I mean, I'm a sucker for the I'm old school where I feel like, you know, you need a big man. We're still a big man's game. So
Purdue has it. UConn has big man.
Yeah, Purdue got one of the best big men in the country. So I'll roll with them.
All right. I know you don't like betting on NBA or hockey anymore because you kind of got whooped. Today, I'm going to ask you, today's game. Where's my phone? We have, I'm going to ask you which one you're going to pick if you had to pick. And I'll tell you what the bets in. Okay, there's a Cleveland Cavs versus Charlotte Hornets. And the Cavs are favored by -10.5. What do you pick on that?
Oh, man, it seems too easy to take Cleveland because the Hornets suck. And they're playing at Charlotte?
They're playing in Charlotte.
Oh, God. I got to roll with Cleveland, the favorite. That Fave, would.
10.5?
I mean, most, you know, my initial gut says take the 10 points because 10 points is 10 points. But I feel like in the NBA, a lot of faves have been, the bigger faves have been covering lately.
Yeah. But you know, NBA, it's crazy because there's been a lot of like swings, like the Lakers against the Bucks yesterday, down by 20 of 7 minutes left, and they end up winning.
Well, it is crazy. Or even on Monday, Boston lost straight up as a 10-point fave.
Phoenix, and they were up by 18 at the half.
And Phoenix lost straight up as a 12-point fave. So,
yeah. And then my I have the Cavs, by the way, today. And I bet last night, so it's -10. And then I have the second game is the Knicks, New York Knicks versus the Toronto Raptors. And they're right now, today's right now, current line is -13.5 to the Knicks.
Holy, 13.5.
What do you like there?
I don't know. It's hard because I haven't really been following NBA at all. So I can't even name too many of the players on Toronto. But I know the Knicks have been playing well. They're on a hot run. So I would probably go with the Knicks too. But, you know, going with two heavy faves is totally against my normal thinking. That's why I don't bet NBA.
I know, and today I have the Knicks at -12 because I bet last night, so I got better lines. So those are my two big bets for today, and I hope they hit.
I hope they hit too.
I know the AI that our producer Darren put together is always going for the faves and overs, so we're hoping that it is correct today. But thank you for joining us today, and until next time, and we'll have you on again.
Thank you
so much to Scared Money Don't Make Money.
Scared Money Don't Make Money.
Bye-bye.